The woman was stung more than 100 times. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and our Wednesday program, of course, is Worldview Wednesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. And on the first half of the program, then, we speak with one of the representatives from World Magazine to bring us up to speed on what's taking place not only domestically but across the globe as well. And we're going to do that today, and we'll do that with the editor of World Magazine, Mindy Bells, who will be joining us here in just a couple of moments. She writes a very interesting segment on the website, and by the way, that website is www.worldmag.com, but there's a Globetrot segment or section of that website that you can check out on a regular basis. They keep it updated pretty well on that website, and so we want to talk with her about a couple of the issues that are listed there in the most recent edition of it. In fact, according to the email I have here in front of me, I have the July 25th, 2012 edition, and we're looking at issues related to International AIDS Conference that's underway, and kind of a related issue as well. Asian and African women have launched a video where they're challenging Melinda Gates. So I want to talk about both of those two issues. They're related or kind of related there, and I want to get Mindy's perspective on what's taking place there on those two issues. On the second half of the program today, I want to take a few minutes to talk about some issues that are taking place with Chick-fil-A. I have a couple of news items related to Chick-fil-A, and actually an announcement for the about an event that's taking place at a local Chick-fil-A here in Greenville. And so I want to talk about that on the second half of the program today. So we'll do that starting at the bottom of the hour, and so you can stay tuned for that. Hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but do you know that you can get World Magazine right now for a limited time? You can get World Magazine absolutely free. They've decided that the best way to attract new subscribers to World Magazine is to simply have people test it out, you know, to see what they're doing. I tell you each and every week on the broadcast that the magazine looks really good. They really have spent a lot of effort on this magazine and the websites as well, World on Campus, another associated website. They're just doing an excellent job. But let me tell you that you can get this for free. They've created a website called GetWorldNow.com, and it allows you to get up to 6 issues for free. That's 3 months of World Magazine at no charge and no obligation. You know how sometimes organizations say that, and that means that you've got to then call to get your credit card canceled and that type of thing? Not so with World Magazine. This is an absolutely free offer. They will send you the magazine then for 3 months, and you can just test it out for yourself. And I'm sure that after doing that, you'll say, hey, I want to get it on a regular basis. I'll tell you more about that at the end of our discussion with the editor of World Magazine today, Mindy Bells. Mindy, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Mindy, I noted in some of the most recent items here on the list, as I mentioned just a moment ago, that that there's a statement here about the International AIDS Conference that is currently underway, and something unique has taken place here that we haven't really seen for the first time, and I think it's been about 22 years, that activists are actually incensed over what is taking place there. They were incensed that President Barack Obama had decided not to attend the actual event, and they're also very much concerned about the fact that the president's 2013 budget proposal has a cut in aid spending, I think about a 7% cut, even though reports have shown that the money spent in this area has really saved a significant amount of lives, especially in Africa. Talk to us a little bit about what's taking place, and just give us a little more information about this issue.
Well, you know, historically, the role of an AIDS activist and the cause of promoting AIDS research and funding toward finding a cure for AIDS has been a liberal cause. It's been something that's really been pushed from the left. But if you'll recall, President George W. Bush somewhat hijacked that agenda because he saw the tremendous heartache and tragedy that AIDS was causing in Africa and Asia and the Caribbean. And if you remember, he set up a vast program called the President's Emergency Fund. It's got a long name for AIDS and malaria. And that program, was funded by Congress. There was wide bipartisan support for it. Recent study came out that showed that the program and the spending that the U.S. has done in Africa over the last 8 to 10 years for AIDS prevention, it has resulted in saving over 740,000 lives. Mm. Those are not numbers that you can really argue with. And so I think it's really surprising that this president, wanting to court his base, and the base does include some of these, or a lot of these AIDS activists who are currently in Washington. The first time in 22 years, the International AIDS Conference has been held here in North America. It's shocking to me that the president would choose not to attend the conference, even though he was invited. He would not speak or address it. And, you know, all of that in the context of his administration proposing 7% across-the-board cuts in this program to fund AIDS programs in Africa and Asia and other parts of the world. It's quite puzzling, honestly. It doesn't seem like it makes sense from a political standpoint. And I would say that, you know, in traveling in Africa, the program over the last 10 years has won for the United States a tremendous amount of goodwill. Mm. And the United States in many parts of Africa is seen as a positive player. And that's a good thing for us. We see U.S. policy and U.S. stances under attack in so many parts of the world. And where we can do something that, there are many Republicans who don't agree with this, but I would just assert as a conservative and as a believer that where we can do some good, where we can structure a program that really pulls in the locals and does good for them and wins us points. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it seemed that, again, that you mentioned that President George W. Bush was really behind this very strongly. And I think that even a lot of evangelicals thought that although obviously we feel that the gospel is the answer to this situation and that we need to do a tremendous amount of work on teaching the important principles associated with the gospel, especially related to human sexuality and these types of things. We're not denying that, but saying that this is a significant problem there, and we can see this many people saved, their lives saved from this, 740,000 Africans, I think that it's just difficult to argue with those numbers. The president, when he's done this, now this has been with the NAACP, he didn't actually go there and speak and sent a surrogate, the vice president, of course. In this case, he sent a surrogate with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking at the event. It seems to get concluded by the people that are involved that the president is taking those votes for granted. Do you think that's the political element here, that they're going to conclude that he just doesn't feel he needs to work for their vote?
I'm sure that that's part of it, and I think that the response that you're seeing among those attending the conference in Washington certainly indicates that they feel taken for granted. You know, this is also an opportunity to speak to a wide international community, and it's an international community that includes a lot of Americans working overseas. So, again, I think you're right. I think he does perhaps take their support for granted, and is seeming to, you know, not coupled with the funding priorities, would seem to indicate that this is an issue that's not really that important to the president.
Mm-hmm. I should say too that there's actually another element to this meeting, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton did speak at the event along with former President Bill Clinton. And you also make mention in the Globetrot edition for today that that Georgetown is hosting what's called a summit on the role of the Christian faith community in conjunction with this AIDS conference. In fact, according to the website, it says that the program will begin right now, although I'm on that website and I don't see anything streaming from it yet. The Globetrot edition says it'll begin at 11:45, so maybe that's the correct time for it. Has this taken place before, the focus on the Christian community and their response to this, or is this something new for this AIDS conference?
It's new for the AIDS conference, and you know, in years past, I've actually received emails and text messages from Christians who are active and working for AIDS prevention programs overseas. They'll text me when the conference is going on and say, "Where are all the Christian leaders? Why is there no faith-based presence here?" That's been a frustration for the few who work in that field. But you know, another aspect to this issue and to this the president's fund is that this very much became, in the Bush years, a bipartisan program. And by bipartisan, I mean that it included Republicans and Democrats supporting it. It included liberal activist groups along with conservative Christian groups. You had Rick Warren, for instance. Saddleback Community Church has poured so much money into fighting AIDS overseas. And he has been a chief proponent of this program. He had President Bush out to California to speak about it several times when he was president. Mm-hmm. My point here is that, you know, we hear a lot about need for bipartisanship in Washington. And this conference that's going on right now is a great opportunity for showing bipartisanship mm-hmm. with Republican and Democratic participants, with the liberal activists who definitely hold sway in this field, but also with this very prominent conference of Christian groups taking place at Georgetown. It's an opportunity for bipartisanship to work. And whenever you see that happen, you would like to see leaders get on board and make more good things happen. And again, we just don't see the White House doing that.
Mm-hmm. There's kind of an associated issue on the broader subject here. You also write this in Globetrot, today's edition of it. But it says that Asian and African women who don't support the goals of this month's Family Planning Summit in London are speaking out in a new video that challenges Melinda Gates and this idea of a quote-unquote no-controversy campaign to spend $4 billion to provide contraceptives to 120 million poor women in developing countries. I want to go ahead and play a little bit of that video that they have out, that kind of a commercial or a video that they produced to speak out against this, and then get your comments on it. Here we go.
No controversy. Miss Gates, you may have the best intentions,
but you don't seem
to understand what young women really need. We need justice.
Justice. justice, not drugs.
That may have serious health consequences.
Did you know
that many types of oral contraceptives
are classified as group 1 carcinogens
by the World Health Organization?
That's the same as cigarettes and asbestos.
How is this good for our health?
Vepro Provera and the field do nothing to stop the spread of AIDS.
In fact, they can make it worse.
How is this good for women?
Ms. Gates,
you say you want to help empower women, but how is it empowering?
To simply give us drugs
so we don't get pregnant, then send us back to men who do not appreciate us. How is this empowering?
No controversy.
No controversy.
No controversy.
You say you are against abortion,
but your partners include the largest abortion providers in the world.
How can this be good for women? IPPF, Marie Stopes, really?
We need better schools.
Better hospitals.
Better roads.
But most of all, we need your help.
Please help us get justice from our leaders.
And help us build a culture of respect for women.
Contraceptives do not help us get
what we really need.
And they are not good for our health.
Ms. Gates, we can do better.
Can't we?
So I want to get your comments on that, Mindy, especially in light of something that's taken place here domestically as well. A Chicago woman named Tanya Reeves, a 24-year-old young black woman, died last Friday of hemorrhaging after a second trimester abortion at a Planned Parenthood clinic. And so Planned Parenthood is again under scrutiny. And this comes just shortly after the president has just talked about refunding Planned Parenthood as well. So your comments on all of those related issues?
Yeah, I'll start with the Family Planning Summit, which took place, I believe, July 18th in London. It was a one-day event. It was headlined by Melinda Gates. The Gates Foundation had poured significant amounts of money into pulling off this event in conjunction with the British government. You had leaders from around the world. It was interesting to me how they pulled in African leaders who really have no business pledging money to fund a contraceptive campaign, and yet there they were. You could almost see their arms twisted behind their backs as they stepped up to the podium and said, yes, you know, my poor nation will give so many millions of dollars to distribute contraceptives to poor women. The Gates Foundation has made this a very big part of its public charity around the world, and you drew a connection with the AIDS conference we were talking about. Bill Gates was also one of the speakers this week at the International AIDS Conference in Washington. And the Gates Foundation has had a lot of funding to put behind its programs and has done some good, but I think you have to really question the thrust of its family planning program when, as these women, and I think these Asian and African women point out much more powerfully perhaps than some of the rest of us could, how this looks to poor women around the world. Poor women around the world are not necessarily just sitting by a fire waiting for someone to show up and take care of them. Many of them are working hard. They're working in cities. They're working long jobs and taking care of their children and taking care of their families, and they're very connected through the internet and through their cell phones and things like that. So first of all, I think this idea that the West knows best is always problematic. But then secondly, as they point out, the website is just wonderful because it gives sourced, fact-based information about the problems with this kind of program. And they point out the health risks of contraceptives. And I would say, if you go to the Gates Foundation website, you'll see these videos of women being given Depo-Provera injections in these rural clinics. And you have to question how much follow-up and how much health care is going on there. And we all know that contraceptives or any kind of drug that is administered year-round is something that requires follow-up and requires consistent health care. It's questionable whether that's available in some of these settings. So that's one problem. Another problem that they point out is just the risks that some of these drugs are considered, they carry with them a carcinogenic risk, and are women being informed about that risk? And then also just the connections. At the summit, Melinda Gates went to great lengths to saying that this program did not involve abortion. But in fact, the groups that the Gates Foundation is partnering with are key abortion providers, as you mentioned, Planned Parenthood being prominent among them. Marie Stopes, a group based out of the UK that has worked all around the world to promote abortion among poor women. And so, and then another, you know, really key concern that these women in developing countries have is just, we need other things. We need roads. We need bridges. We need help with schools and education. We need infrastructure. We need help. I would say, building good governments that can provide those things. Mm. And so to put $4 billion into contraceptives, you have to question the priority of that.
Mm-hmm. I had then-Senator Barack Obama was on this program with me and talking specifically about abortion. I asked him about the support that he received from Planned Parenthood, 100% voting record, and so forth. And he tried to indicate that, in fact, this was a quote. He said that one abortion is one too many, unquote. And then he said that he was going to work in his administration to make adoption much more prevalent, and that he wasn't for abortion, but he felt that this was a decision that was outside of his jurisdiction and so forth, should be between a woman and her doctor, or a woman and her religious leader, this type of thing. But since that time, he has seemed to do absolutely nothing on the issue of making abortion less popular or less abundant. He just really has, since that point, even catered even more to Planned Parenthood, and once again, he seems to be adding to their funding. I mentioned, we're talking about politics a little bit. I wanted to finish today with you. You wrote a little section in the Globetrot for today as well, that the GOP presidential challenger Mitt Romney intends to take on Obama's foreign policy record. He started yesterday, I think, with a speech at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention in Reno, and it's going to continue this week as he's got a high-profile trip to Israel. I think he just arrived overseas just this morning, and he's got a 6-day tour over there, London, Warsaw, Jerusalem on Sunday. Just speak to us a little bit about this particular issue, since it's got obviously this international element associated with it as well.
Right. Well, I think that that we've seen a real absence of discussion and debate about foreign policy in this campaign so far, and I'm encouraged. I hope that this trip is going to spark some debate that will carry us into the fall as we begin to see these campaigns heat up. We need to be drawing contrasts, and I think both candidates need to be pushed to draw contrasts and to state clearly what their policies are. We have, the thing that has been the hallmark of the Obama administration when it comes to foreign policy is a statement that was made in conjunction with Libya that we want to lead from behind. And I think it's time that the American people hold a referendum on whether or not that is the kind of foreign policy that we want. What we heard from Romney yesterday in Reno was something very different. He talked a lot about his belief that America is the greatest nation on earth and can continue to be a force for good. He did not talk as much about how he would actually, how that would translate into policy. And that's what I hope we'll hear more from the Republican side, even as I hope that we will be challenging this notion of America leading from behind. I think it's having disastrous results.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the bombings in Iraq this week and the chaos in Syria. Those two events, in my opinion, are closely related and are also closely related to the, just drastic and I would say irresponsible pullout that we did from Iraq in late 2010. We could talk a long time about, of course, we needed to pull out and draw down from Iraq, but the way in which we did it has left this region in turmoil, and that's not fair to our soldiers. That's not fair to the American people who sacrificed to put our soldiers there. And I don't think it holds I don't think it is a kind of U.S. policy that can carry us forward anywhere but into chaos, and I think that's what we're seeing. So I really hope that we're going to see both of these candidates pushing each other to define better what they would do to make the United States a responsible player in the world.
Mm-hmm. I think with Israel in the mix there as well, I don't think Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, is hiding his hand very well in his hopes that Mitt Romney, who he's good friends with, that he hopes that Mitt Romney will be in the White House after November. I think he sees a clear difference between the two candidates. He's trying to, as much as possible, stay out of our politics, and he constantly says he's got enough of his own politics to worry about than to get involved in ours. But I think it's pretty obvious that he is rooting for Mitt Romney to win this election. So I think it really has some very significant, actually, ramifications with foreign policy. Mindy, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on a number of these different issues, and thank you once again for the good work you folks do there at World Magazine. I want to make sure that I have time left to give folks the information about how to get a couple of those free issues that you guys are doing. So thanks again for being on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was Mindy Bells, the editor of World Magazine. Always enjoy talking to Mindy about a number of different things. Remember, they've created a brand new website. Go out to www.getworldnow.com. If you go out there, you can get up to 6 issues. That's 3 months of World Magazine absolutely free at no charge and no obligation whatsoever. You know how sometimes those organizations, they'll take your credit card and you have to call to cancel your card and all this? This doesn't have that at all. This offer is completely without obligation, and they're just allowing you to have a chance to try out World Magazine. They're that confident that you'll be happy with what you see there. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
On the next edition of the Mike Huckabee Show, we'll talk about the Chick-fil-A controversy. And a lot of folks are standing up for the company because they took a very traditional view of marriage. Also, political dynasties. Oh, we still have them. They've long continued to be a part of American history and life, and we'll discuss how they affect the political landscape of America. And the president said that if you're in a successful business, you didn't build it. And he mentioned the Internet. Did we build that, or did the government build it? On the next Mike Huckabee Show.
At noon on Christian Talk 660.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
The last thing you need is a car that breaks down. Your independent, full-service auto repair center, Just Right Auto Repair, works almost foreign and domestic cars and light trucks, including Subaru, Lexus, Acura, and Infiniti. Let Just Right Auto Repair handle your regular maintenance needs and save up to 25% over dealer cost. Just Right Auto Repair on State Park Road near Cherrydale. Phone 242-1961 or check us out on the web at justrightautoinc.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. We Had an opportunity to speak with Mindy Bells, editor of World Magazine, in the first half of the program today, and so we wanted to touch base with her about what was taking place, what's been taking place around the world, items of interest to the Christian community, or should be of interest to the Christian community. Let me just say that I wanted to switch gears here just slightly and talk now a little bit about Chick-fil-A. But before I do, let me mention a couple of things to you. One is what our subject will be on tomorrow's broadcast. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be talking about pursuing peace. You know, conflict is a part of life. It's not just a part of Christian's life, but it is a part of life in general. We have conflict in every area of life. You have conflict in the home. I'm sure conflict arises in the workplace as well. And conflict even arises in the church. The question is how should we deal with conflict? What should be, are there biblical principles that can be applied to the subject of dealing with conflict? And our author, tomorrow on the program, the author of the book, Pursuing Peace, it's a Crossway book, crossway.org, you can go out there to find out more. He's going to be with us in order to talk about this issue and to look at what the Scripture has to say about pursuing peace. And so we want to go ahead and look at that issue on tomorrow's broadcast. Today, I wanted to finish off the program here by looking at the situation that's taking place with Chick-fil-A. I've got one article here in front of me that summarizes a little bit. You may have just heard the ad for Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee's program, Governor Huckabee, comes on right after this program. So Governor Huckabee will be talking about this as well. But there's been a number of things that have taken place revolving around Chick-fil-A's stand for the promotion of the traditional family. If you've been following this story at all, first of all, Dan Cathy, who's the son of Truett Cathy, I've met some of the Cathys at their Atlanta location. They got a really cool Atlanta store. Whenever I drive to Atlanta, sometimes I drive there in order to pick people up or drop people off at the airport. They fly into Atlanta. Just it's a little bit cheaper sometimes on their flights. So whenever I'm there, I stop by. It's called the Dwarf House. That was the original name of Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. And they have a really cool Chick-fil-A there. On one side of the store, it's a traditional, what you think of when you think of Chick-fil-A. The other side is more like a diner. They've actually maintained the original look and feel of the original Chick-fil-A that was there. You can order things like hash browns and eggs and these types of things on that side. So I love to go to that side of it. And when I was there, one of the Truett sons was there. I'm sorry, Truett Cathy, one of the Cathy sons, right, was there at the store, and so I got to meet with him for a couple of moments, and we just thanked him for the store and the organization's stand on Christian principles. Now, he made a statement recently, and really, when you read the statement, you really just have to wonder at that people's the people that are opposing him, why, you know, the absolutely harsh and just vicious attacks that have taken place upon Chick-fil-A. He didn't make that strong of a statement. All he basically said, what Dan Cathy said, was basically that they stand for traditional marriage, that they are a family oriented and a family focused, a family friendly company. And that was basically all he said in the statement. He didn't say that they were aggressively going against those who didn't hold that view or anything along that line. And so, you know, first of all, I think that this whole issue then revolves around the issue of tolerance. You know, the gay activists were one of the people that they seized upon the idea of tolerance and made that a major plank in their platform for gay rights and the promoting the gay agenda in this country. And yet we see so often with the gay activist portion of this group that they are the most intolerant people upon the face of the earth, that anybody who holds to a different view is immediately demonized in their view and is immediately called all sorts of names. And we saw this with the attack by Dan Savage. Dan Savage, here he was doing a program about bullying, which, by the way, is supported by President Barack Obama. And yet Dan Savage is one of the most intolerant people on the planet. Remember, he had personally gotten himself involved in Gary Bauer's campaign, and he had so much hatred for Gary Bauer and the people that were working for him that when Dan Savage came down with a very bad cold that was very much contagious, he had a flu and, you know, these types of things, that he then went around the office. First of all, he tried to shake hands with Gary Bauer after having coughed into his hand numerous times on purpose, trying to actually give him, I think he should be arrested for this, but he tried to give him the flu that he had on purpose. He then went around and he actually licked doorknobs in the organization. He licked coffee cups. He licked staplers in the when nobody was around, trying to give the people, you know, in some sort of a bio attack on his organization, trying to inflict them with this disease that he was carrying, this flu that he had. I mean, it is just horrible what he did, and yet there is absolute silence about what was taking place in this arena. So this is just one aspect of this. I've had it happen to me. You know, they came here to the Greenville area. Two groups came. One was called Soul Force, and the other one was called Faith in America. And they were homosexual activist organizations that came. They put up billboards in the Greenville area that likened anyone who opposed their position as being responsible for murder of people like Shepherd, you know, that was killed out west, I think in Wyoming. And there was a young man that was killed here in Greenville. He came out of a bar. He got in a fist fight with somebody outside of the bar. And then during the fight, he fell back and hit his head on the curb and died tragically. And they tried to link that to Christians and said that the Christian message was responsible for that event that took place. I stood up against them at a community college here when they were holding a meeting and said that there was no indication that the person who was involved in the fistfight had actually even stepped foot in a church. He didn't make any claim to being a Christian. He was coming out of a bar, something that we have condemned in Christianity. There was far more evidence to condemn the drinking that was taking place in the bar than there was to condemn Christianity. But they had very irresponsibly and intolerantly, they had seized upon this and said, aha, it was Christian teaching that had brought about the death of this young man. And then they shamelessly paraded this family that had lost the life of their loved one here who had died in this incident that took place outside the bar. They paraded them before them, seized upon this family, and used them as part of their cause, something which I called them on during this meeting and said that was shameful, that that was something we would never do. We would let these people, grieve in peace and not try to use this circumstance to our political advantage. And I thought it was shameful for them to do this. So this whole issue, now the Jim Henson Company, the people behind the Muppets, recently announced that they were cutting ties with Chick-fil-A because of the fast food stance against, they term it this way, against same-sex marriage. No, it is for traditional marriage, which, by the way, for the last couple thousand years upon the face of the earth, in all countries, if you take your finger, if you spin the globe and you take your finger and you just point to any country upon the face of the earth, you will find that it is a place that has historically honored traditional marriage. I mean, the onus is upon them. This has been the case in the United States since its inception, to hold to traditional marriage. It's only recently, through the efforts of the homosexual activist groups, that this is being questioned. The onus is definitely upon them as to why we should change the definition of marriage. They are putting all this pressure upon people to do it, but it really, when you look at precedents across the, you know, that this has historically been the case across the globe and for long periods of time, certainly throughout the life of this country, the onus is upon them. Why should it be changed at this particular time? We're not saying that we hate people that hold to the homosexual lifestyle. That's not what's being said. We're not saying that they shouldn't have rights given to them. This isn't a rights issue. This is an issue dealing with the redefinition of marriage. They're saying that definition needs to be redefined. And we're saying, no, it doesn't. That definition has worked just fine in this country for these number of years. We can, as Christians, we can go back to that definition as being established by Almighty God Himself in Genesis and upheld all down through the Scriptures and throughout the New Testament Scriptures as well. And so we say, why just for you should this be redefined? And the answer is they don't have a good answer to that. So they have now resulted to bullying people. This is where they're at now. We will bully people into submission. We will show intolerance for them in order to get our way, and we need to stand up and say, no way. We're not going to be intimidated in this way. If you want to have a discussion about the issues, if you want to talk about the subject in a level-headed way, we're willing to do that. The facts are on our side on this issue. We're willing to have that discussion, but we will not be bullied into doing something, and that's exactly what's taking place. Let's go to the phone lines very quickly. We've got Joshua from Illinois. I'm sorry, Josh, I talked you right out of it there, but maybe Josh will come back onto the program. Let me talk about one aspect of this. First of all, let me mention to you, there's a couple of things taking place with Chick-fil-A. On August 1st, I think this was started by Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, but he has organized a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, and he's just asking people who support Chick-fil-A and just their pro-family stance that they have taken, just holding to the idea that marriage, as it has been historically defined in this country, has been between one man and one woman. He's just asking that you, since this other group has targeted them and trying to destroy their business because of their stance on this issue, Mike Huckabee is saying, let's show our appreciation for Chick-fil-A on August 1st. He's not calling for anybody to bring any signs or, you know, to make any particular statement on these things. He's just saying, let's just go there and spend our money with Chick-fil-A. Let's go there and just buy lunch. That's all. Just buy breakfast or lunch or dinner there at Chick-fil-A on that day, just to show the homosexual lobbyists that there are people, millions of people across this country that support companies that have that these companies have the right to make their own statement about these issues, that they won't be bullied into submission by this intolerance that's being showed by the homosexual activists. Something interesting has happened along this line. Shortly after setting up a web page in order to take for people to sign on to this this Appreciation Day, Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. All of a sudden, the Appreciation Day's Facebook page has disappeared. And there's some talk now, maybe Mike Huckabee's going to talk about that following this broadcast, but it's gone from Facebook. So the insinuation is that Facebook has had some sort of role, played a role in taking this down off of Facebook. And so so we need to talk about these issues. You know, this, again, is from a group that's built their whole organization based upon the idea of tolerance. I had a discussion with, his name's escaping me now, but his book was called The Intolerance of Tolerance. And what he meant by that is the new way that people are talking about tolerance today really shows this lack of tolerance on their part. We see this. It was D.A. Carson that I had that discussion with. And he talked about in his new book called The Intolerance of Tolerance that the meaning of tolerance has changed. Before it was that you would, you know, basically live and let live, you know, that you weren't going to attack a person and demean a person that held a different position from you. The new tolerance today means that you must accept their position as being equally valid as your own, which is just ridiculous. You know, that now that you're going to be branded as being intolerant unless you accept their position. The truth is they have been the most intolerant people upon the planet on this issue. I got something sent to me recently on Facebook, and it was a list of 10 things that the homosexual activist has put out to say that the reason why they were wanted to promote the gay agenda. One of the first things that they mention on this list, and maybe you've gotten this if you're part of social media at all, is that they point out that the Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. This is one of their selling points. And therefore, if you say anything about it, that you're going beyond what Jesus said. Well, let me tell you, I've answered a person who put this out on their Facebook page, and I tried to reason with him as to why this point, the first point in their 10-point thing, was wrong, and how I could equally look at each one of their 10 points and prove why it was wrong from a basic biblical knowledge. First of all, this is what I said to the friend that I was writing to who had posted this on his page. I said, at first glance, statements like these, they sound plausible to many people, but upon further thought, they are found to be lacking in logic and not biblically sound. Let me just address the first point, and I think that you'll see exactly what I mean. The first point is wrong because it assumes that Jesus did not directly address a subject, and if he did not directly address a subject, that it must not be important to him. This is a classic argument from silence, and it is not a correct assumption for two basic reasons. First, it assumes that the Gospels are more authoritative than the rest of the Bible. But anybody who's a student of Scripture knows that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, the same Spirit that inspired the authors of the Gospel is also the same Spirit that inspired the men who wrote the rest of the Bible, including the passages in the Old Testament and New Testament that condemn homosexuality. So do you see that first point? They're saying, well, if Jesus didn't mention it in the Gospels, then it's not something that was important, and therefore we can conclude that homosexuality is correct. Well, that's a bad view. That's an incorrect, an unsustainable view of the of Scripture as a whole. Everything that we learn about God and who he is and what he requires of us is not learned in the gospel. There's 66 books in the Bible, not 4 books in the Bible, and we have to take into consideration all that's taught in the Scripture. Secondly, and closely associated with that first point, is it assumes that the gospels are more comprehensive than they really are. They do not provide all that is needed for all biblical doctrine on practical instruction. Many of the major doctrines of the faith are not contained in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Man's old and new nature, that's covered in Romans. That's not covered in the Gospels. The priesthood of Christ is covered in Hebrews. And many, many other doctrines are not covered in the gospel. The fact that a doctrine is not mentioned in the gospel does not mean that they are not important to the Christian faith. Jesus never mentioned incest. Now, that teaching is actually found in Leviticus and again in 1 Corinthians. But certainly no one would assume that his silence on an issue like that is an endorsement of it. Nobody would make that forced and false assumption just because he never mentioned it in the gospel. Although Jesus did not mention anything specifically about homosexuality, he did teach that heterosexuality is a divinely ordained and enduring standard of sexuality for mankind. He said this: "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain, but one flesh. Therefore, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder." So I could do this with each of the 10 items that are listed by the homosexual activists in this internet campaign that they have. But I think you can see that there is a biblical way to look at all of these issues. The bottom line is this, that this type of an attack against Chick-fil-A and their stance just for standing up for traditional marriage, the traditional definition of marriage, is unwarranted. It shows the intolerance of this group. And they should be called in question of that by what they're doing. Let me give you a quick announcement here just for the folks here in the upstate of South Carolina. Do you know that Chick-fil-A, the one right here on Pelham Road, they're inviting people to come out to their first annual Boys Night at Chick-fil-A on Pelham Road. This activity is it's an activity-filled overnight father and son camp out at Chick-fil-A. And it's going to feature cornhole, you know, that toss game that you can play, basketball, football, frisbee, putting greens, movies, s'mores roasting. A pitching cage is going to be set up by the Greenville Drive and more. It's taking place this Saturday, July 28th. It starts at 9:30 p.m. and it lasts until Sunday at 7 a.m. in the morning on July 29th. By the way, this doesn't exempt you from church on Sunday morning. So just let me make that clear. It's happening at Chick-fil-A on Pelham Road in their parking lot and their store. And it's to create great memories together. You can pack your tents and your sleeping bags and other overnight necessities. Here's how you find out more. You need to RSVP to 275-3964. That's 275-3964. Leave your telephone number and the number that will be in your camping party. And you can go out there and have just a bunch of fun along with the folks there at Chick-fil-A. If you have any trouble remembering any of the information I just gave you, just shoot me an email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. And I'll send you the flyer back in email, and then you'll have it there with you. Remember this: when we talk about all of these issues, we brought into consideration the Word of God. Jesus very plainly said this. He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Join us again next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio. Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.